Shortly in the program, hoping to speak to the author of a book called Knights in Armour. And the knights are, the word knights is spelt N-I-G-H-T-S as opposed to K-N-I-G-H-T-S. So Knights in Armour, the darkness of the night that we all experience in armour. What might it be about, do you reckon? Well, it's about being in the RUC. And really, the background to this book is that a policeman's lot is, as many people would know, very often not a happy one. And there are many elements to having been in the police. And I want to really find out from the writer, Samuel Thompson, what he's hoping to achieve with this book that has been praised, actually, by Danny Morrison, who used to be working in publicity for the Republican movement in the past. So it's getting the thumbs up in the most unexpected of quarters. And I think we have an opportunity now to speak to Samuel. Samuel, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Thanks for coming on the program. Knights in Armour. Is this a book of fiction, a book of fact, or a book of fiction based on fact? Tell me about the backdrop to it, please.
All right, Frank. It's certainly a work of fiction, but I did serve in the RUC for 26 years, and I was around as a very fresh-faced 18 and 19-year-old in the during the hunger strike period. So it's fiction, but certainly influenced by real events and real experience, but they haven't been recounted as such.
And writing, when did you turn to writing? Because you served in the RUC for a considerable amount of time. You're someone who's involved in drama. You also lecture at university. But why did you turn to writing fiction?
Well, I didn't so much turn to it. I always enjoyed writing, even going back to primary school. Enjoyed writing essays. I thought I had a certain flair for it. And this book is quite unusual in that it's being published in 2019, but it was originally written around about 1985, 1986, when all those events were pretty fresh in the memory. So the attitudes, the dialogue, and things like that should be true to the era. It's not a case of today's memory being reflected.
Now, tell me about Danny Morrison's involvement in this, because he seems to be, if we check social media, in favour of people reading the book. He says it's not a work of propaganda. Danny Morrison, many people would argue, would know a considerable amount about propaganda. He would argue, of course, that he was saying it as he saw it. But regarding Danny Morrison, your first encounter with him was as an RUC man in the most troubling of circumstances.
Yes, I first met him. It was the day Gerry Adams was shot and wounded and brought into the Royal Victoria Hospital. And at that stage, we didn't know what had happened. There was myself, Justin, and another officer. We arrived, just two of us initially. And within a fairly short time, there was a number of other people converged, associated with Sinn Féin and so forth. And I don't want to go into, long story of it, but I got involved in a bit of a scuffle with him. I wouldn't put it more than that. It wasn't a violent fight or anything like that. So that was how I met Danny Morrison. And then years later, he reviewed the first edition of the book, which was in print briefly around about the end of 1993. And as a writer, you'll take whatever help you can get. A good review is a good review. And if it helps people read it who would otherwise be put off by the subject matter or the viewpoint that the story's prevented from, well, I'm more than happy with that.
Well, it certainly must be an interesting read if someone like Danny Morrison is actually endorsing it, because, as you say, you don't want to go into too much detail of what happened on that day that Gerry Adams was shot. And you say that, people from Sinn Féin would have been around at the time, but people from the IRA would have been around at the time, and you would have been a target at that time from the IRA. You must have felt under immense pressure, even in the vicinity of the hospital.
Yeah, well, on that particular day, we initially didn't know what had happened. As I said, there's myself and another officer, and we were driving what was basically an armoured shuttle bus, which took the civil servants in and out of Springfield Road. And all we heard was that there had been a shooting in the town centre, and that I think a gold or bronze-coloured car was heading up the Grosvenor Road. So the hospital would have been a logical place to work, or sorry, to look. And we arrived there, I saw the car with several bullet holes in the side, went in to investigate what had happened, and I saw a couple of men who had been shot, one of whom would have been Jerry Adams, and I didn't actually recognise him because they were all covered with blood and so forth. And there was a lot of associates, I suppose would be the best word to use, appeared on the scene within a few minutes. Probably, I don't know, at least 10 within a short time. Porters and so on working in the hospital, probably a crowd of about 20. And then other police arrived. But that's my recollection of it. It's a long time ago. It was 1984, 85. Can't quite remember which. But that's more or less what happened then.
And you have recollections of many other incidents while on patrol. This reference to knights in armour, N-I-G-H-T-S,
yes.
Is that a yes. simple description of how you felt? You were in armour, you needed to be protected, and you were in the dark of night under threat while doing your job.
That's exactly it, Frank. We wore body armour, and then you're inside armoured vehicles, so you're almost like a double wrapping, and it's a play on word, of course, with the old K-N-I-G-H-T-S. And that more or less explains the title.
So what is it in this book that makes it acceptable to someone like Danny Morrison, whose eye is very much on the Republican prize, is on a United Ireland, is justifying the activities of the IRA down the years? What is it in the book, in this work of fiction, that you managed to achieve that allows a Republican to say, yeah, read this, this is a darn good book?
Okay, well, first of all, it isn't necessarily a political book. I was very aware of the fact when I was writing it that if I hadn't made it too sweet and wholesome, that it would have appeared as propaganda. I also tried with some of the characters in it to portray how maybe young lads who are encountering police and army, and back in those days it probably would have been stopped. In certain areas, stopped and searched pretty frequently, and so on, and would have been in a position of conflict. You know, could have been sucked in, or would have felt attracted to paramilitary organisations. So I tried to let the I wouldn't say the facts, but the things that happened in the book speak to themselves. I also tried not to lecture from any political point of view and present different arguments. So I obviously can't speak for Danny. You'd need to speak to him yourself. But I imagine it's maybe that which he liked, that it wasn't trying to demonize anyone in particular. It wasn't, while most of the police in it, I suppose, there is portrayed heroically in places. But if you read the book, there's other parts where they're not quite so heroic. And I think that's possibly where he's coming from on it.
I'm also interested in the element of you meeting people like Danny Morrison and Republicans through some sort of reconciliation group that's run by a former member of the Parachute Regiment. What sort of activities do you guys get up to in that reconciliation group?
Yeah, well, it's not a formal thing. It isn't a formal organisation. I was invited basically to Christmas lunch by this other fellow who's a former member of both the Parachute Regiment and the Royal Irish. And he explained that there was people from what I would describe as the former opposition at it. And initially I was very, very wary. You know, I didn't really know what to expect. And but I did go along, introduced to a few people. I'm not going to mention names in case it possibly embarrasses people. But I find on a personal level, we get on fine. But don't meet on a regular basis. It's a couple of times a year, no more than that. But I think, and I know there's former colleagues of mine will probably disagree with me on that, and who don't feel the same. I don't pretend to speak to anyone other than myself. But I think it's important that we have these conversations, and that people can discover what makes each other's tick. We're not the same. We come from different backgrounds with very different experiences. But I think if these conversations had been going on in the 1950s and 1960s, the place wouldn't have got into it, but it did.
And you have a memory of childhood that's very much from the Shankill side of the divide. You have a memory of being growing up in a staunchly loyalist area, and you do tell a story, don't you? Where you feel almost taken advantage of to some extent by a loyalist paramilitary godfather who used to take you and a friend for drives in a car simply to get through checkpoints, and he would allow you to play on a farm, but you weren't sure what he was getting up to. In those outhouses and outbuildings?
Yeah, that would be it with hindsight. It was a pal of mine who used to live in Mary known as Tyndale in the Ballyshannon, and my family is originally from the Shankill, and I was down there once or twice a week with grandparents and so forth. And a guy who would have been, in later life, I would have known was a UVF leader. And there was some connection between my friend and his family. I can't quite remember exactly what it was, but he used to bring us to a farm out near Dundrod, Crumlin area. And we had played around the farm, and he would have been doing something in outbuildings. And then we would have driven back. And this was around about, 1972. And especially on the road to the airport, it would have been lots of army checkpoints and stuff. And usually if a soldier seen somebody with a couple of kids in the car, they would wave them through. And it just occurred to me in later years that he may have been using us as cover for that. He was later shot dead by the IRA, this guy. I don't know that for a fact. It's a guess on my part. It may have been quite innocent. But we'll never know for sure.
It's interesting with hindsight what people conjure up in their minds, and you tell the story so well, Sam. It'll be interesting to see what's in this particular book, Knights in Armour. But one of the things you've also said is that the making of a cup of tea after you come out of the RUC was something you found easier to do than when you were in the police, simply because you didn't have to do it in the dark. You must have felt under immense pressure when you were a serving officer.
Yes, people did, and it was only when it was really all over, when people went on holiday, that they actually noticed that. I remember when I used to go on holiday out of the country after about the second or third day, I would have had this sort of great wave of relaxation came over me. And people just didn't realise the pressure they were under. But the story about the cup of tea, there was two former colleagues that I used to work with in Armagh, and both of them were murdered in their kitchens going in to make cups of coffee. There was somebody hiding in the field out the back and took the light on and shot them. And for a few years after that, the house I lived in was open at the back, and I would have went in the dark and pulled the blinds down before I put the light on. Probably wouldn't have done any good, but it just felt safer doing that. So I think if a lot of us are honest, if we look at circumstances where people we know had been killed or hurt in, they do play in your mind. You wouldn't be human if they didn't.
And are your thoughts now in the more mature years of your life with your former colleagues, many of whom died, many of whom were left injured by the IRA and other terrorists, are your thoughts with them, or do you see a wider picture of where Northern Ireland was and where we've all come from?
I think, to be honest, it's both. The people that I was sort of quite close to, quite friendly with, you remember them and their anniversaries. People have different ways of doing that. But you think about it, fairly frequently. I probably knew two or three people quite closely that were killed. And one was actually killed accidentally by, he was run over by an army landowner. whilst out in patrol. And there's a pretty strong irony there, I think. But it's a matter of both. You know, you don't want to forget those people. Some people suffered horrendously, and there's some people have been paralysed for life and lost limbs, left with the most appalling injuries that they have to live with day and daily. So, yeah, you think of that, but the future has to be something better than that too. And things aren't perfect now, but we're in a much better place than we were 30 years ago. And but I think we're still a lot of ground to do. There's still a lot of hurt and a lot of bitterness out there in all communities. And that's going to take a lot of time to heal, I think.
Well, Sam, good speaking to you. The book is called Knights, beginning with N-N-I-G-H-T-S, Knights in Armour. It's fiction. It's published by Mercier Press, and it is available. Thanks for coming.
It'll be available on the 30th of April, Frank. It'll be in the shops.
Okay, in the shops from the 30th of April. Sam, thank you very much indeed. By Sam Thompson, former RUC officer, Knights in Armour. This is the U105 phone-in. Good morning to you.